All right, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 12 through 16. All right, you there? All right. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right. Pray with me again. Father, pray you'd help us. Pray you'd bless your word. Pray you'd help me to be able to say these things right. And Lord, I pray that your word would have free course and be understood. And Lord, it won't unless the Spirit of God anoints the message. I pray you would now and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Important things. We're in really a very important part of the Bible here. We've been going through this kind of slow. I could slow down a whole lot more and really, you know, dig deeper into a lot of these things. But, you know, the main thing that I wanted to do in this, going through Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, is just to hammer down this idea that you're either walking after the flesh or you're walking after the Spirit. And there's just two ways. There's no mix-up. There's no gray area. I mean, you're either in or you're out. And we're talking about the lifestyle, your walk, your what you are, your very being, your attitude, your outlook, your view, your what you believe. There's just two ways. And so that's what I've really been at. There's a lot of other things we could veer off on and get into in this. But now this little thought here tonight is just what he says right out of the gate. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. Well, now we've all been around this for years and you know, where they talk about they make us debtors before we're saved, and that's how you get saved, is get out of debt. Well, that's not the way the Bible portrays it, conveys the message ever. We're debtors after. I mean, that's what he's saying. We're debtors, not to the flesh, not to the flesh. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. And that refers to the attitude that we should have as a Christian. It ought to be humble. It's not, and you know, I talk to you about this often, how it's not, we don't increase and increase, we decrease. We're used up, we're spent in the work of God, the cause of Christ. I mean, for the kingdom of God to go forward, we have to be used up. It's not that we're being built up. The inner man is being built up. But he doesn't have this haughty attitude, this attitude of gain and increase and for himself. It's the attitude of, you know, I owe everything I've got to God. We ought to feel that way in our hearts because we truly are debtors to God for what he's done for us, for what he has put up with out of us without destroying us. You ought to be grateful to God. Because if we all got what we deserved, you know where we would be tonight. And for the price that he's paid to redeem us, for the fact that all that was required to redeem us was provided by God. We didn't provide nothing. Do you understand that? And I'm not preaching Calvinism. I'm just saying, stating a fact. He did everything that was necessary, yes, that was required. He provided it all. We didn't provide anything. We came to the table with nothing. Right. And if you didn't, you didn't get it. Because that's the way you got to come. Right. Empty handed. I owe it all to him. Whatever I've got, whatever I am. If there's any good in me, I owe it to him. Right. That's right. That's the attitude we ought to have. That's the attitude Paul had here. We're debtors. I'm a debtor. We're debtors. And for, you know, for all of this, how in the world could we not feel obliged to God? says, not to the flesh. We're debtors, not to the flesh. Not to live after the flesh. Now, we owe nothing. I want you to listen to me because this is real important. There's a big error here in a lot of people. We do not owe anything to our past. When we walked in the flesh, there's nothing there to glory in. There's nothing there to praise. Nothing there to honor or, you know, exalt in any way. We're debtors, not to the flesh. Amen. There's not a thing that I got before that's worth saying anything good about. Whatever we are after we're saved owes nothing to what we were before we were saved. What we were before does not add anything to what we are now. So there's no debt we owe. We should not feel obliged. We shouldn't be thankful for our past sin and life. Many people seem to honor their wicked past as the means that brought them to where they are now. That's a very wrong way to think. That is. Our wicked past is what we were delivered from. And it's what required the death of Christ for us to be saved from. And it deserves no honor or praise at all. I've been around a lot of people through the years, and they really, boy, they get a twinkle in their eye, and they get a smile on their face when they start talking about their old days or their, you know, when they was moonshining and racing cars and fighting in the bars and stuff like that. I've heard people be thankful for their sin because that makes them so much more grateful for what they got now. No, that's the wrong way to think. You ought to hate your sin. You ought to hate what you were. You ought to hate the fact that you were on your way to hell, and now all that stuff is the reason why. And all that, God delivered you from it. God may or may not. You know, all that was pertained to the flesh was working toward our eternal death. It was in no way leading us to eternal life. We were lost. We were at enmity with God. We were headed away from God. And mercy and the Word of God and some faithful servant of God is what turned us around. And we ought to be thankful for that. And we're indebted for that. We owe nothing to the old life. We owe nothing to our sin. We should never glorify our sin and say, boy, if I hadn't have been in that deep in sin, I wouldn't understand the things I do. Oh, yes, you will too. I got some things to say about that. God may or may not use something from our past as a help to win souls or glorify Himself. But as far as our attitude about it all the glory and praise and honor goes to God for delivering us from the road to destruction that we were on. Amen. Nothing ought to come out of your lips except praise for God. Yes, sir. No honor, no respect, no thankfulness. For nothing in the past that pertains to your sin and walking after the flesh. You don't have to experience great depths of sin yourself to realize how wonderful salvation is. You kids need to listen to me and you need to understand this, that's a fact. You don't have to go into the depths of sin to understand. People that go to the very bottom do not understand more about the grace of God than somebody who never did. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it works. That's a lie. And see, that people, I know some people who think that depth of sin they were in makes them more, they've got a higher level of understanding about God because they went so deep. No, that is not true. And let me just say this to you. You'll not get through this life without learning the awfulness of sin by experiencing the effects of the sins of others on your life. You'll understand how bad it is. Because the sin of others will stick its knife way deep in you. You know how bad it is. You don't have to go there yourself. And that's a fact. This will be sufficient knowledge of what sin does without entering into every particular sin yourself. I've never smoked pot. I don't have to smoke it to know what it does to people. I was looking at a picture the other day of a guy I knew when we were young in school. I remember what his face looked like then. And to look at him now, there ain't no question in my mind. I know his life. I know what he's done all of his life. And I know what's made his face look like that too. It's obvious. Sin doth show on our countenance. We owe nothing to this world and nothing to anything that pertains to the flesh. So we have no obligation or duty to return to those things now that we're saved. Nope. I don't owe nothing. I'm not in debt to my past. I'm not in debt to anybody from my past. I don't owe that stuff nothing. And neither do you. For if you live after the flesh, verse 13, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right, now to live after the flesh, we've talked about it and talked about it. I hope to heaven that you understand what it is and that you ain't mixed up like most everybody else is about it. You got a body. That's not the flesh that the Bible's talking about walking in. Because right here in chapter 8, it tells us you're not in the flesh. If Christ's living in you, you're not in the flesh. Well, I'm living in my body. So there's a difference between walking after the flesh and walking in a body of flesh. It's two different things. To live after the flesh is to live after the things of the old life, the unconverted life, the life that the rest of the ungodly world lives for. That's living in the flesh. That's the flesh that the Bible's talking about all the time. All the way through these chapters in Romans, that's what the flesh is referring to. If we, through the Spirit, put to death the things that we have previously lived for, we're promised life from God. Well, I know all the work, you know, that's works. Well, explain it to me then. How is that? You mortify the deeds done in your members. You mortify your members. You mortify. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If we through the Spirit put to death the things we've previously lived for, we're promised life from God. Now, isn't that the message that we've had all the way through here? Repeated over and over and over and over. Same message. There's a difference. The old man's dead, right? The old man's crucified with Christ. That is dead. It says the old man is dead. You put away. You mortify your members, which are on earth. You stop it. You change. You don't live in habitual, continual sin. That's living after the flesh. Walking after the Spirit is being led by God. The Spirit of God lives in you. You walk a different walk. You got a different attitude. The whole world, the universe is different to you. One's life, the other is death. Plain as day. Light, dark. Life, death. Those things we have done, no matter how vile and wicked, are gone, dead, buried, and put away. They're no longer a part of our life. Or our affections. They're just not a part. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's all different. We were blind. Now we see. Our minds were darkened. Now they're renewed. Now we have the mind of Christ. Then we had our own mind. A carnal mind. That was after the things of this world. And after our own lust and desires. And all of that's made into righteousness. That's our righteousness. You know, our ideas of what's right and wrong. And our ideas of what's important. That's walking after the flesh. All right, if we're still living with all these things in view and thinking of them as part of our life now, then we're still living after the flesh. What do you live for? What's most important to you? What are you about? Why are you here? Why are you alive? Why do you exist? In your mind, in your opinion, what's your life about? Why you? I mean, what's the purpose of you being on this earth and breathing the air and eating the food and living here? Why? Is it just to keep living? For another day, another week, another month, another paycheck, another whatever? Or is there a higher purpose? Yeah, there's a higher purpose. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 14. Now that, you know, necessarily means that those who are not led by the Spirit are not the sons of God. Why would he say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, if there's not the other view? What's the point in saying that if everybody's going to heaven, if everybody's sons of God? I seen where the Pope said we're all brothers. Yeah, ain't my brother. Not in this matter. The necessary means that those who are not led by the Spirit of God, you know, that's what it's got to mean that. So there's no such thing as being saved and on your way to heaven while your life is about living after the flesh. There's no such thing. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, verse 13 says. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, do you believe that or not? Yeah, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Spirit, you know, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the children of God. So, you ought to be able to know, shouldn't you? And it ought to be pretty simple for you. Well, let me read you a couple of verses that Jesus said to kind of back this up. A lot of people want to separate everything out. You got Paul's gospel and Jesus' gospel and somebody else's gospel, and it's all the same gospel. Abraham, the gospel was preached to Abraham, and it wasn't two or three different versions, two or three different peoples. I mean, this is God's gospel. So Jesus says the same thing. Book of Hebrews said we ought to give more earnest heed to the things we have seen and heard. Paul didn't contradict Jesus. There's nothing Paul taught that contradicted Jesus. And there's nothing Peter taught. None of the rest of them taught anything that contradicted what the Lord himself taught. So when you come up with these Pauline doctrines that contradict the words of Christ, messed up. It doesn't. Jesus is right in line with what is said here. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. John 10, verses 2 through 5. All right, now do you believe that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
Or by their own lust and by the spirits of the world? Well, Jesus said no. You know, they're not led by the spirits of the world. They're led by God. They know his voice. They hear his voice. They listen to his voice. And they won't listen to a stranger. Somebody with a different voice, they won't listen to him. They'll flee from them. And again, in chapter 10 of John, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, there you go. Same message. Jesus told us, Paul told us, and that's the way it is. We're debtors. You ought to feel like you're indebted to God. Because he done everything that needed to be done for you to be saved. You don't owe nothing to the old ways. And if you will just live for him, you'll live. And how do you do that? What's the victory that overcometh the world? Faith. It's all right, but faith in what? I mean, faith in him, not faith in your faith. It's Jesus that saves. Nothing else. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. Oh, I told you I'd be brief. I'm going to make believers out of you yet. Y'all get used to this, and then we'll have trouble, and then we go back to the 90 minutes and stuff. All right. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I know it's just a short message here tonight, but it's true, and it's a thought we ought to cling to. We ought to go out of here remembering and being thankful in our hearts, humble before you, and not boastful or proud in any degree whatsoever, because we have nothing to be proud of or to boast about. You have provided everything to redeem us from a life of destruction. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live for you and to not feel indebted or grateful or mindful of the things that were sending us, had us on the road to hell, destroying our lives and setting us up for eternity, eternal death in the lake of fire. Lord, thank you for the rescue, for the outstretched hand, for the faithful witness, for the faithful word preachers of the Word of God that came to our rescue and saved us from that awful destiny. And Lord, pray you would work in our hearts and lives and help us to live for you and to look to you and to not be ashamed of you and to come out from among this old world and live for you and be separate unto thee. Please go with us, Lord, and help us to get home safely. Watch over everybody on the road and bad weather and everything. Lord, I love you. Help these folks in need tonight. Be with them through the night here, and I pray you'd deliver in some of these situations, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.